Israel, Amen, Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's story, adapted by Seymour Wright from a story by I. Bashevis Singer, is entitled The Little Shoemakers.
Everyone agreed that Abba Schuster was by far the best shoemaker in Frampov. His reputation reached all the way to Kresheva and Bilgorai, and there were some who said even to the village of Samoshov. He was a little man with sad eyes and strong hands, and he sat at his bench from dawn to dusk, measuring the slow passage of time with the steady beat of his cobbler's hammer.
Reb Schuster.
Oh, come in, believer. Come in.
I brought the money for my new shoes.
Oh, thank you. I hope they're comfortable.
Comfortable? Such shoes could be in a museum. It's like walking on a cloud.
I'm glad you're satisfied.
Believe me, I never knew feet could be so enjoyable. It's a blessing for all of us that you live in Frampo.
Where else would I live? My father made shoes here, and his father, and his father. And someday, God willing, my sons too.
Toward evening, the fading rays of sunlight flickered through the windows of Abba Schuster's workroom, touching his beard with glints of spun gold. Then he would rise from his bench, wash his hands, put on his long coat, and go off to the synagogue for evening prayers. Life in Frampol was simple, but Abba Schuster was content.
Father?
Yes, Gimple?
What's the world like outside of Frampol?
Outside of Frampo? Well, there are many distant lands, strange cities, but nothing of any significance.
Are any of the cities bigger than Frampo?
Bigger? Not noticeably.
Abba Schuster, a fine way to talk to the boy. You know perfectly well that Frampo is no bigger than a dot in a prayer book. A small prayer book.
So maybe I exaggerate a trifle.
A trifle? You make it sound like this is the center of the universe.
My dear Pesha, to me, Frampo is the center of the universe. And here in my house, with you and the boys, this is the center of the center.
Someday, when the Messiah comes to lead all the Jews to the promised land, I suppose you'll want to stay behind in Frampo.
On weekdays, maybe. But I'll always come to Jerusalem for Shabbos.
Abba Schuster had five sons, and as each came of age, he received careful instruction in Hebrew, Polish, arithmetic, and the art of making shoes.
Watch how I cut leather for the inner sole, Gimple. Carefully. So.
Let me try it, Father.
Hold the knife firmly. Don't cut your thumb. Good. Now I'll show you how to take the measurements of a foot with this knotted string. Remember that the right foot is usually a bit larger than the left. And above all, don't neglect the big toe. It's very important, the big toe. It must have room to move freely, to express itself. Understand?
Yes, Father.
And always be careful with your measurements. Our customers are fine people, and they deserve the best you can give them. The best, Gimple.
I'll remember.
Later, we'll go down in the cellar to the tanning vats, and I'll teach you our formula for tanning the hides. It's a secret formula handed down in our family for generations and generations. Very valuable. The leathers and things.
After Gimple's apprenticeship, there was Getzel, and after Getzel, Treitel. And finally, even the youngest, Gödel and Feifel, were helping to hammer pegs. Then Abba Schuster's workroom, like his heart, was filled to overflowing.
A mother had five little boys.
Oh, Lord, five little boys.
The first one was Gimpeler. The second one was Getzeler. The third one was Triteler. The fourth one was Gordeler. The fifth one was Fiveler.
Oh.
The years passed. The boys grew. The hammers rose and fell in harmony with the changeless pattern of life in Frampol. And then, one day...
Pesher, where's Gimple?
Isn't he in the workroom?
No, no, not upstairs either. I haven't seen him all morning.
Well, maybe he's delivering shoes.
No. I sent Getzel with the shoes. Uh-huh. Such a time to disappear. The work is halfway up to the ceiling, and he decides... Gimple, where were you?
Outside. Walking and thinking.
Walking and thinking? On a Tuesday?
Father, Mother, there's something I have to tell you.
So go ahead, tell us.
I'm going to America.
America?
You robbed someone? You got into a fight?
No, nothing like that. I'm not in any trouble.
Well, then why are you thinking of running away?
I'm not running away, Mother. I'm leaving because there's no future for me here.
No future? Don't be silly. You know a fine trade. Someday, God willing, you'll marry. You'll have everything to look forward to.
You don't understand. I'm tired of this little town, tired of the people here. To me, Frampol is nothing but a big swamp.
Oh, you mean past the old marketplace. Look, when they get around to draining it, there won't be any more swamp.
No, that's not what I meant, Father. It's just that Frampol is too old-fashioned for me.
Frampol? Old-fashioned?
Look at how we live here. Everything just the way it was for centuries. And the people. Israel the healer. Michaelis the marriage broker. The old rabbinical court. The poorhouse overseers. The bathhouse attendants. Don't you see, Father, life is passing us by. There's a great, wonderful world outside of Frampol, and I want to be part of it.
I don't understand you. I don't understand you.
I'm sorry, Father, but I thought about this for a long time, and I'm going. Tonight.
Tonight?
If I'm lucky, I can slip over the border into Germany. And I saved up enough money for my fare on the boat.
Stop him, Abba, stop him!
Gimpeler, listen to me.
It's no use, Father. You can't keep me from going.
Oh, Abba, say something. Talk to him.
How talk to him? He's a grown man, and stubborn like all the Schusters. If he wants to go, he'll go.
Then... it's all right with you?
All right? No, my Gimpeler, it's not all right. I don't understand this foolishness. But if it's what you really want, God be with you.
Thank you, Father.
I ask just one thing, Gimpeler. Promise me never, never to forsake your religion.
I promise.
Gimple!
Yes, cry, Peshe, cry. The Lord gave... and the Lord has taken away.
So Gimple went to America, and part of Abba Schuster went with him. As the months unfolded, letters came from America.
I am engaged to a wonderful girl. Her name is Sarah, and she comes from Banfi Hunyad in Romania. Sarah and I are married. Here is a picture of my bride in her white dress and veil. I am standing next to her in a gentleman's coat and high hat, just like a duke. I just opened up my own shoemaker shop, and I have a great deal of work. I wish Getzel were here to help me. The shop is doing well, thank God. There are so many opportunities in America. I think Getzel would be very happy if he came here.
The letters from America grew more persuasive, more exciting. And in due time, Getzel followed Gimple, and Treitel followed Getzel, and then all three sent for Feivel and Gordel. And suddenly, Abba Schuster found himself alone.
A mother had five little boys. All of five little boys. The first one was Gimpeler. The second one... How did it happen? For generations we lived here. Now, maybe it's a judgment on me, a punishment. I don't know. Where does it make sense? You, Abba, you know what you're doing, and that doesn't. Shame on you. His will be done.
Abba, another letter from Fido.
Oh, give him.
First a coin in the charity box.
No, that box, it has more money than we have.
For every letter a coin, as long as I live.
Look, pictures. Here, it says on the back, this is Fievel's wife, Bessie.
Oh, she's beautiful.
And here, Gimple's oldest boy.
So big, and the image of you, Abba.
Listen to the letter. Next month, God willing, we will open our own shoe factory in New Jersey. A small place, but at least a start.
Where's New Jersey?
It's a city in Pittsburgh.
Oh. Our boys with their own factory.
Again, I beg you, dear father and mother, to come to America. Now that we are prospering, why do you insist on staying in Frampol? You can live here with us in comfort, waiting on hand and foot. Please change your minds and come. What do you think, Pesha? Should we go to America, strange new country at our age?
Well, for me it would be too much. But what about you, Abba? Could you leave Frampo?
I don't think I would know how.
One year cholera came, and Pesha died. Abba Schuster drank the full measure of his cup of loneliness.
Reb Schuster, a letter for you. I was passing, so the postman asked me to bring it.
Oh, thank you, Reb Lieber. Thank you. Ah, from Getzeler.
Reb Schuster, why do you stay here like this, an old man in a crumbling house? You don't have to work. Your boys can take care of you. Every letter, they beg you to come to America.
And who would fix the shoes in Frampo? Besides, I'm too old. I was born here. I lived here. When the time comes, I'll sleep here next to Pesha.
For Abba Schuster, there was no way of knowing that history had other plans. Terrible forces were loose in the world, forces of hate, violence, and they reached even to Frampo.
Reb Schuster! What happened? What? My roof is falling down. I knew someday...
Not your roof, you fool. Nazi planes.
Nazi planes?
Yes. Poland is invaded. The Nazis are bombing Frampo. The forest. Quick. We'll be safe in the forest.
Wait. My prayer is shown. My shoemaker is gone.
Hurry, Reb Schuster! Hurry!
Oh, this running. I can hardly breathe.
Reb Lieber, look. Frampo is burning.
That year, the Jews of Frampol observed the Day of Atonement in a field near their shattered city. Then Abba Schuster joined the homeless ones, a wanderer on the tides of war, bereft of everything but his prayer shawl, his shoemaker's tools, and his faith in God.
Reb Schuster, how are you feeling?
To be truthful, Reb Lieber, I have felt better.
Try to walk faster. We mustn't be left behind.
Faster? Sometimes I want to lie down on the side of the road and sleep there forever.
Don't talk like that. You can't give up now. The others say we'll reach Romania in a few more days. You must keep going. You must.
With God's help, Reb Lieber, with God's help.
Abba Schuster came at last to Romania. An old couple gave him refuge, nursed him, sent a telegram to his sons in America. Then the wheels began turning, and the wheels within the wheels. Couriers were sent on hurried missions. Letters changed hands. Cables crossed the ocean. And then, an official document arrived from the American consulate.
Rapshusta, look! Your visa came!
My visa?
Yes! You're going to America!
Vizhnita to Bucharest, Bucharest to Milan, Milan to Naples, Naples to New York, and a new world for Abba Schuster.
Where is he? I can't see him.
There. They're coming down the gangplank. The steward's helping him.
His hair is so white. He's so old.
Father! Welcome,
Father!
To America.
Father! Who? Here we are.
Who?
I'm Gimple. And here's Getzel and Feivel.
We're all here, Father.
Gimple, Getzel, you're all here. God be praised. God be praised. God be praised.
All right, sit down, everybody. Children, sit down.
Oh, come, Father.
Sit here, Father, at the head of the table, the place of honor.
Thank you, Gimpel.
Quiet, everybody. Please.
Well, it's time for a speech, but what can I say? We're all here, my dear father, to honor you, your sons, and their wives, and their children. Everything we are, we owe to you. And everything we know, you taught us. And now, after all these years, maybe we can repay a little something for all you did for us.
I only wish your mother were here. My heart is too full for words. I can best express it in a prayer. Baruch ato Hashem, Reheinu melech ha'olam. Sheshayonu, Fkimonu, Vizionu, Zman hazeh. He has brought us forth from slavery to freedom, from mourning to joy, from sorrow to festivity, from darkness to a great light.
Father! Call the doctor! Call the doctor!
How is he today?
Same as yesterday and the day before. Since he got out of bed, he wanders around the house in a continual daze, like a sleepwalker.
No wonder. All he's been through.
For 3 weeks now, he's been living in a dream world. Yesterday, he almost fell down the cellar steps.
I sit and watch him, and it breaks my heart. The doorbell scares him. The radio scares him. He's so helpless, and he has such a frightened look on his face.
Maybe another doctor.
Oh, please, we had four already. What can the doctors do? Give him back Frampol? Don't you see? His world is gone. He can't find a new one. Is an old man lost, Fidel. An old man lost.
Grandpa? May I come in, Grandpa?
What?
It's me, Aaron.
Ah, Aaron.
How are you feeling today?
How am I feeling? Very old. What have you got there? New toys?
No, a bag of tools, Grandpa. I found them in the hall closet. I thought maybe they were yours.
Let me see. Ah, my shoemaker's tools.
Are these the ones you used in Frampo?
Yes, yes, I carried them all the way. Look, look, here's my old knife and my pliers and the knotted string I use for taking measurements. In those days, Aaron, shoes were made by men, not machines. It took time. And skill and patience. This hammer feels so good in my hand. Aaron?
Yes?
Maybe there's an old pair of shoes around the house that needs mending.
I think so, Grandpa. Mother must have some.
So go, bring them. I'll show you how I used to fix shoes in the old days.
Fidel, Fievel, have you any more old shoes that need mending?
No, not a single one.
But Father is running out of work.
Sorry, what can I do? He fixed all our old shoes days ago. I even ruined a few pairs just to keep him busy.
It's unbelievable. Since he started with the tools, he's a young man again, just like in Frample.
Yes, fine. All we have to do now is dig up enough old shoes for him.
Oh, don't worry, either of you. Papa won't need your charity anymore.
What do you mean?
Mr. Berman across the street just ordered a new pair. Everyone in the neighborhood is talking about Papa.
Father's making shoes for Mr. Berman.
Why not? What he does to a pair of shoes, believe me, it's a miracle. I'm going to order new ones, too, and so is Bessie.
Well.
Fine thing, Fievel. All of a sudden, under my own roof, competition.
So Abba Schuster's sons built him a new workroom and stocked it with the finest leather. Once again, the sound of his hammer echoed through the house.
Listen, it does my heart good.
Now, today we'll have a real celebration to make up for the other one. Is everybody here yet?
Everybody but Hannah. She'll come as soon as the baby wakes up. The others are all outside on the lawn.
Good. I'll go see how Father's getting along. Father, shame on you working on a Sunday. You should join the union.
Don't be foolish. I have so much work I can't see straight. Look, two more pairs for Mr. Berman, slippers for Mrs. Margulis, and the shoes to finish for Trifle's boy.
Father, I know you're busy, but you should take a little time off now and then. Learn to relax.
Gimple, please, if you're going to stand there and bother me, don't stand there and bother me. If you want to help, then help. Sit down. Come, roll up your sleeves. It wouldn't hurt you to pick up a hammer once in a while.
Help you? Why not?
So here, fit the heel.
The men in the factory should see me now.
Hey, what's going on?
Father needs help, so I'm helping.
Gimple, look at these stitches. We can still learn a few things from him.
More than a few, Getzel.
Please, less schmooze and more work.
Well, move over.
So this is where the host is hiding.
Don't interrupt the working men, Fievel.
Father, how's this toe cap?
Not bad.
Room for me?
Sure, get a chair from the bedroom. Sit down, earn your dinner.
All right. I'll call the others, too.
Bessie, what happened to all the men?
I don't know. They just disappeared.
Oh, with Grandpa.
Oh, Bessie. Look.
It's Frumple.
A mother had five little boys.
Oh, Lord, five little boys.
The first one was Gimpele. The second one was Getzele. The third one was Tritele. The fourth one was Gordele. The fifth one was Fivele.
Oh.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Joseph Unger, member of the Board of Overseers of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America and prominent philanthropist of Youngstown, Ohio. Mr. Unger.
This morning's story brings to mind the statement, Cobbler, back to thy last. The moral of this presentation seems to have been that, despite the fact that Abba Schuster's sons went to America and there became successful businessmen who were able to rescue their father from the European massacre, they were unable to enable him to enjoy life despite the many luxuries they provided for him. He almost pined away until he returned to his life's work. When he became making shoes again, he was himself remade. There seems to be a moral for American Jewry within this story. Our forefathers, too, left their broken-hearted parents to seek their fortunes on these shores. Like the cobbler and his wife, their parents grieved at the thought of their children leaving familiar surroundings to travel to foreign shores. And like the shoemaker's children, our forefathers were blessed with great material prosperity so that, when their loved ones were engulfed by the terrible tragedy of the Hitler era, they were able to snatch them from the inferno and to bring them to this land. However, it soon became apparent that to reestablish their will and to maintain our own desire to live as Jews, as we must do, more simply provide more physical comforts. Unless we have the central unity of ideals and purposes around which we can work together as a united Jewish community, we must become a frustrated people. Fortunately, we Jews have long possessed such an ideal, which we call Torah. Its precepts, which have been expounded by rabbis and teachers in every generation, have underscored such ideals as the dignity of every man, respect for my neighbor, and responsibility for my fellow man. These have become the very cornerstones of American democracy and of our Western civilization. They have been the significant contributions that our people has made to all of mankind. If they were important in the past, they are doubly so in these chaotic and uncertain times, which seem to breed a kind of man who fosters the disrespect for these very principles upon which human progress has been built. It appears, then, that the task before us is very clear. We must return to the job of providing and maintaining academies of Jewish learning who will train the future leaders of generations of Jews and Americans yet unborn, who will preach and teach this message of the Jewish heritage, which may be spelled out in the simple idea that we worship God best when we respect man most. Never before has there been a greater need for devotion to this unique ideal, which has been a part of the pattern of Jewish living in every age. And the cry to us as American Jews seems to be, Cobbler, back to your last.
Thank you, Mr. Unger. Our eternal light drama today, The Little Shoemakers, was adapted by Seymour Wright from the story of the same name by I. Bashevis Singer in A Treasury of Yiddish Stories, edited by Irving Howe and Eliezer Greenberg, and published by the Viking Press. The adaptation presented today is based on the English version by Isaac Rosenfeld, included in this book. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical music. Featured in the cast were Louis Sorin, Beatrice Pons, Santos Ortega, David Pfeffer, Arthur Cassell, Bert Cowlin, Lola Piza, Ellen Muir, and Alan Bergman. Norman Rose was the narrator. This is Mel Brandt. The music was written by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Roy Shield. This has been an NBC Radio Network production, directed by Daniel Sutter. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.